Yeah, it's Thursday. You know what it is. Time to smoke this over. So, this has been an interesting week. Interesting week. Especially in the news. Now, at the time of me recording this, because if you were a day one smoker, you know I usually record a week ahead, and sometimes a month or two ahead, you never know, just by the way that my podcast is. I like to pre-record. I don't like recording, dropping it the same week. I don't want to overload, I don't want to overload people. I want you to digest any of the episodes before I give you another one. And plus, it's also about being persistent, being consistent in dropping things. That's why I drop them on the times that I do and the days I do. I want you to have the feeling that when you go Thursday and there ain't no episode, it feels weird because I became a part of your life, part of your day, part of you eating breakfast, part of you getting ready for work, you driving to work, you at work. I doubt you're going to be listening to me while you fucking. But if you're doing that, hey, I want to be a part of your day. So, I do multiple podcasts, you know that. And a lot of times I don't get to talk about what's been going on at that moment on these podcasts. Because, you know, when I talk to the girls or what have you, it's not about current events. It's about them, about what they're going on, and what conversations we might have. So, the one thing I never got a chance to really dig into, which I probably will be digging into you in the premium smoke room, either in Big Jordan's podcast or, well, actually, and you might as well say, Chronicles of the Spit Queen with Miss Spit Queen. So like when I get the opportunity to talk about current events, it's either on this episode of the Smoker's Lounge, the Smoker's Over episode of the Smoker's Lounge, or it's in the Premium Smoke Room. So that's why I'm telling y'all to go subscribe to Premium Smoke Room. Before I tell y'all that, welcome to the Smoker's Lounge. You know who I am. I'm Kavanaugh, the Southern Champ, a.k.a. the Porn Rap Star. So all you need to do, if you want to see my work, if you want to find other platforms with the podcast, my Rumble, my Tuba, what have you, I'm actually starting to drop exclusive YouTube videos. It's only on YouTube. Yeah. So it'd be smart for you to subscribe to my YouTube page, which is STO, the Smoker's Lounge. But I digress. Find me on allmylinks.com/pornrapstar. Now, what's funny is, this year started off, I had 4 sponsors. Two disappeared, and I gained 3. So, let's begin. First one being the hottest adult magazine, the Game of Racism magazine.com. Next up, award-winning, award-nominated, voiceover with your smut, as well as an award-nominated virtual reality side. That's right. You can take the Oculus or whatever garbage you got for virtual reality and enjoy some serious porn. I'm talking about none other than Blush Erotica.com. Also, for all you candle lovers, whether it's you like the smell or you like wax poured all over your body, go into the description, get the link, hit the link, and go to the Kinky Candle Company. Yeah, on Etsy. Go there today. Go ahead, order yourself a candle or two. They have candles for non-scented candles, for, you know, sexual needs. You know that candle wax stuff that you see, and they drop candle wax on their body, all that. Yeah, and for you people that just want a candle that smells good, they're going to set the mood. Guess what? They got you covered on that, too. So go over to the Kinky Candle Company and go ahead and get your sex life, your day, your night lit up. And we have a new sponsor, which is going to kind of shock you. We're talking about the Queen of Law herself in the Queen City, Miss Michelle Ferrari. That's right. Go to her. Link is in the description. Hit up on IG or Facebook for any of your expunge, eviction needs, and gun law needs. And she even gives great advice on other legal matters. I'm talking about none other than the Queen of Law, Michelle Ferrari. Go check her out. Link in the description. Also, you can find me 5 days out of the week in the mornings on FullSwatRadio.com. Also, check me out at SkyhawkAfterTalkDV.com as well as the BGP LLC app. So as you see, the podcast is growing. This year has been a good year. I can't even complain. 2024 so far, the first quarter of this year has been pretty decent for the pod. Now, the personal level being a little bit of a struggle here and there, but I digress. And in a couple of weeks, in a week or two, well, a couple of weeks, I turn 49, 1 year away from 50. And some days I feel like I'm 48. Some days I feel like I'm 20. It's just depends upon what, how I get out of bed sometimes. I look back at my life, yo. In my 20s and my 30s, I've done some interesting shit. The 40s been kind of a little mellow, I guess, not as exciting, you know. One, because I was traveling, chasing the porn thing, and doing all that good stuff, you know. I was having girls travel to me, shoot, you know, chasing that side of the business at a time where yeah, you had to get out and go chase it. It just wasn't online like that. So, I hope that the next 25 years, or the next 10 years, be a little bit more sizable. Do a little bit more traveling. See a little more things. Be my nesting partner, Tisha, or any of the females that I might be fucking with. Kids, what have you, you know. I got my daughter with me now, my youngest daughter. My oldest daughter's in college. My youngest daughter, she's here. My little city girl. Yes, yeah, she's a city girl. And my other kids. You might as well say marriage. You can say through marriage, for the most part, it's pretty good. So, in a headspace, my headspace right now is a lot that I'm sorting through, dealing with, trying to figure out, and you know how that is, people. You know, you think it's like, you ever been in a situation where it seems like everything hits at once, like a super collider. Just everything hits at once. It's just a big clusterfuck. And you got to figure out your way to get out that clusterfuck. That's where I'm at right now. So I'm just putting things in perspective and trying to keep it moving forward. Yeah. So, enough about me, because y'all ain't come here to hear about my fucking problems. You know the song they say, you know the song, I Won't Complain? I won't complain. But the reason why he won't complain because nobody would care, even want to listen or hear about it. So. But as of this recording, Puff Daddy had Homeland Security raid his house. Now, I know y'all done heard everybody's thoughts in every which way and it, you get my drift. Put it this way. By the time you hear this, you done heard every talking point there is about the shit, right? But the reason why you're listening to this episode is because you're a fan of mine. You want to hear what I actually think. And my perspective and all that good stuff. So you can say I'm kind of late to the party sometimes, you know? Because my wheelhouse is not doing it right then and there. I mean, shit, I don't like dropping something the same day. Just me. It's, just don't. Maybe I'm just a stubborn fool. I don't know. But y'all like it, and it's working, so who cares? Now, anyway, back to my point. Puff Daddy, and I said this on previous episodes, Puff Daddy, when he settled with Cassie, the chink in the armor, plus on top of that, the thing that she alleged, then another lawsuit which alleges similar things, it kind of was a no-brainer. Everything that was stated in all of these things basically kind of pulled the card for them to go after this. But, see, this is what everybody ain't telling you. The feds been had a book on Puff Daddy. They had a book on Puff Daddy since the Biggie and Tupac. Come, think how many people kept naming him as a suspect. So you don't think the feds didn't think to look into him? His daddy, former drug kingpin. Come on now. They kind of had a case. They just needed to know where the bodies was buried. It ain't hip-hop police. It's, let me explain something to you. Any of these rich motherfuckers, the fans is watching anyway. Because they want to make sure that you ain't making your money illegally. And if you see and say, well, no, it's the black man. No, they watching Elon Musk. And you see, come on, people. Read between the lines. You think that these billionaire motherfuckers, they ain't going to pay attention to these motherfuckers to a certain extent. They have too much fucking money, too many means, and too many resources, and too many connections for them not to be watched. If they fucking watch the senators, the congressmen, and even the president to a certain extent, what the fuck they think they gonna watch a regular citizen that is worth billions? Trying to make sure that you ain't trying to fund or be an oligarch to another country's tyranny. But even more so than that, he had a gun charge. Shine supposedly shot someone around him. It was suggested that Shine took the fall for the shooting. Now, I want you to think about this. When someone automatically confesses, they kind of let it go. Or even if they know that that person who confessed didn't do it, they'll let it go. But they're going to continue watching him. And understand this, they already had an investigation into this nigga that was open. It was funny because I was doing the Joe Budden podcast. They were saying that New York said they didn't open no case. No, the feds, Homeland has already, let me explain this to you. The government, Homeland, whatever the alphabet boys, whatever you want to call it, whatever region of America that you're from, they, because of his background, because you had, let me make this clear, Biggie died, Tupac died, they were beefing with Tupac. You feel me? Add to it the wild parties, the speculations. And I want you to think about this. Murder, Inc., they went to court. Y'all keep talking about the hip-hop police, this, that, and the third, all this. Everything that this dude was doing, the government was kind of, was like, okay, we need to watch him open a case. We can't actively go after him, but we want to pay attention. It won't, what sealed it was, yes, those two civil suits. The two civil suits. And then, I'm going to tell you what's funny, right? All of a sudden. Hold on, give me a second. I'm going to put this on. Add to it, his drug mule got caught. The guy that I clearly remember playing for Syracuse against Carolina when he was there. How the fuck you think they knew about the drug mule? He was stopped, he was detained. No, they knew. Oh, yeah. Him. Yeah, him. Yeah. They already knew. They just needed someone to corroborate some of their findings already. They need a witness. You feel me? See, ain't nobody telling you that shit, because it kind of makes sense. The feds, just off the strip of two civil cases, they just going to sit there and be like, you know something, maybe we need to look more into this. They already were looking into it. Because the allegation was already there. They were already getting information from motherfuckers. Y'all didn't hear some of these interviews where they said, yeah, the feds didn't say this investigation. It's nowhere in hell you can do as much as Puff had done and had so much shit that was surrounded that had Puff's name in the mix of it that it was nowhere in hell that the government didn't have a docket on this nigga. It's just the chickens came home to roost because, once again, the chink in the armor. They were saying, well, Puff Daddy, the kind of dude he is, he had to get rid of the shit that he did stand in third. Nigga. Unless it's paper and you can burn it, get rid of what? He didn't even have a clue that the fed was on him like that. He didn't, you think Puff Daddy, rap mogul, and sitting here thinking, you know something, I might want to show as much evidence as I got. And I'm going to tell you, I can't think of who was, I think it was Myron from Freaking Frat. You know, I like Myron when he do his fed shit, when he breaks down investigations and shit like that. The niggas on this shit. I'm sorry, niggas on this shit. The other shit, I can't deal with. But he said one important thing, blackmail, sex trafficking. All of these are federal charges. See, people forget that when you on the phone, right, cell phone, they do record, but it's certain trigger words that makes the government or any entity record because they're trying to find people that might be terrorists and all that good shit. Think about these motherfuckers do search engines. They think they deleted the search browser or what have you. They find everything that you were looking for. Freaky shit and all. Guns and everything. But see, the thing about it is, everyone was saying, why they had to go that hard and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. This ain't the FBI, bitch. This is Homeland. See, people, it's different. FBI, it would have been, it might have been a bunch of cars, a couple of dudes with some bulletproof vests or what have you, you know, period. This is the same Diddy that blew up somebody's car. And you don't think that the feds did not have any cases open or a case book open or potential case book open for Sean Diddy Combs? When you blow up somebody's car, you on the radar. Okay, Kid Cudi's car got blown up. What the fuck? Okay. Cause this was like some professional shit. Okay. Okay, who have something out for Kid Cudi? Or whoever the dude was that car he blew up. Yeah, Puff Daddy was kinda upset to do how they this girl. It's the third time we've heard this man's name. Might need to open up a little docket to keep tabs. See, like I said again, it's no different than the mafia. Before they decided to do RICO, they knew of the mafia. They just didn't take them seriously until they had to. Hoover didn't even believe the mafia was a danger to America. It was communist and niggas. If you was a nigga communist, you really was on his radar. And he was a racist, but I digress. So think about that. And all this shit went down in multiple cities. So he ain't even keeping it in the same town. Everything speaks to me believing that the government, Homeland Security, FBI, any of them had a file or a folder on Puff Daddy. They were just waiting for the domino to fall. And it happened. Homeland was going to roll up in there looking like SWAT. Yeah, they were going to put them in handcuffs. Yeah, to make sure you don't do shit. You know how many times they go in there and they might get shot at or what have you? It's a precautionary thing. I understand it's a little excessive, but once again, this is not local PD. This is Homeland Security. Homeland Security. Meaning that we dealing with way worse situations than the street thug with the Glock. Y'all want to hear the black man this black. Oh, they just want to tear down a black man. And of course, some of you dumb motherfuckers going to say that shit. It ain't got shit to do with a black man. It's about someone that has done a bunch of bad shit and it's just time to catch it. Now, I know a lot of people going to sit there and say, what's going to happen now? Is Puff Daddy done? Yeah, effectively he is. Effectively he is. Nobody's going to touch this nigga. No one spoke up for this nigga. Yeah, think about it. Not even in the slightest. I done heard psychics who predicted this. I done heard another dude predict this. That he's going to probably be a raid or two. Some of his spots. He even sold some of his stocks to Revolt. I heard he did a response. I ain't heard it yet. Still haven't heard it. By the time it is, I might go listen to it. I don't know. But the totality of this, right? The total of it. What this tell me in full? What this speaks to me? What this screams to me? What you do in the dark comes to light. No matter how much you try to sweep it under the rug. Nobody's Teflon. When it's your time to see it, you're going to see it. Ain't a damn thing you can do about it. We can talk Illuminati shit. Oh, he might off himself. It might make it like he off himself or this. Puff Daddy is effectively done because, one, money-wise, legally, Two, how he going to make money? Ain't nobody going to touch him. Ain't nobody going to work with him. He can't. He might fuck around and they might. Would they take down all of the Bad Boy catalog? So, then add to it, Clarisha, as of now, and I haven't listened to Tasha K or any of the other people, I will after I get off of here, they're talking that Clarisha was a sex worker. And if you think, and then Clarisha, a.k.a. Young Miami, if her young ass don't think that they ain't going to come knock on that door to ask some questions, you better think again. It's funny how I was listening to Wack. And I understand Wack is capable for her. And he's like, she's a good girl. He probably told her we needed, part ways so we could. So, because I got a lot of shit going to hit me and I don't want you to be caught up in it. Wack. Listen here. Because I ain't going to front Wack. I like dude, but he always sound like he is chewing Funyuns when he's talking. It's like he's always eating something. It feel like he's always eating something. Like, I can just imagine him sitting there eating some Funyuns and he's trying to talk to you on the mic. But Clarisha will get this talk to. Her name was mentioned. Her cousin was mentioned. And they're going to come and ask questions. Just off the strength of one, did she participate, and two, how she was to participate, how she participated. Once again, it's the feds. And let me make this clear. If the feds come a knocking, they got something. Okay, everyone keeps saying, well, what they got on him? They saying that, the investigation wasn't, he wasn't named as a person of interest or this, that, and third. They said the same thing about Trump when they investigated January 6th. They said the same thing when a whole bunch of other investigations. What was the investigation early in his presidency? See, people forgot about that one. I want you to think about that. No, they ain't going to tell you that you're the person of interest. Until you're the person of interest. Meaning that we are after you, but we're not going to tell you that we're after you. Because we want you to think that, but he knows they after him. Conveniently, he is at neither one of these residents, and he's at the airport. And people are like, he wasn't running. Okay, just the same day as these raids going on, you at the airport. Your private jet somewhere overseas. I'm just going to be honest. Black folk, you know what our problem is? We too forgiving of a culture. No, seriously. Black people can say the most fucked up, asinine shit about black people in general, like a Candace Owens. Or Yay, because that's his legal name now, Yay. Or Tim Scott, or I can go down the list. We could have some of the worst of the worst. Bill Cosby, R. Kelly, now Puff Daddy. Some of y'all might, some of y'all motherfuckers might cape for damn, what's his damn name? And his damn name at the tip of my fucking tongue. This old law, we've been gone. Whatever his name is. Anyway, in other words, the point is, we would cape from the worst to worst. Tory Lanez, I got to throw his name in because he was convicted. So there you go. Tory Lanez. We would cap for motherfuckers that clearly does not need to be capped for. Just because we love what the fuck they do. We love to say, man, this motherfucker a fool. But sometimes you do got some good points. Sometimes you do make some points. We're the only race that say this shit. I don't never hear a white person say, you know, Andrew Tate. He is a complete piece of shit, but he do got some good points. I don't never hear Fox News say, yeah, Biden is the fucking worst president ever. But you know, Biden does have some good policies that actually did benefit us. No! We quit to do that. And we wonder why every race looks like we stupid. It's like, and I'm talking about with other races, I don't know if other races, when it comes to other races, we like that. But when it comes to us, if they got talent, you know, some, it's all good. We can still love you, man. All because. Yeah, Candace Owens came back to the black, with the black media. You want to know why? Not just because the white ones won't fucking win it, won't gonna touch it, but it's the easiest move. Yeah, Candace Owens, come on. Love to have you on. Come on, love to have you on. And nobody challenged her. All of you. She loved challenging people on their views, but no one ever challenged her on her views. Now in the black media, we just happy to have your motherfucking ass here. But how? Let me bring this back to Puff Daddy. Yeah, some motherfucker is still capable for this nigga. Let me make this clear. I was hearing about Puff Daddy's exploit back in motherfucking 1995, bitch. When I was in the game. Trust me, things that I saw backstage, people believe me. Nothing like seeing DMX hit a goddamn line of coke and give you a whole hour on stage. Talking to Beanie Siegel. Talking to Sniffer Weston, a.k.a. later on known as the Coco Bra. Bone Crusher. Chilling with Pastor Troy. You know what I'm saying? I'm just name off some names. This is who I was around back in the day. When I was doing this shit, when I was doing the music shit with me and my boys. Cabin Hills, Mr. Twill. Got a video, music video, but two music videos up there now on YouTube for Mr. Twill. But I digress. Y'all go check the shit out. Mr. Twill, T-W-I-P. There you go. Now, but the point being is, Puff Daddy has always been the same. I always heard about his party. Let me explain something to you. The problem with Puff Daddy is that, and the problem with a lot of the cats that was in that era, nobody cared. See, one thing I do agree with the psychic Sloan, I can't remember her name. I believe in energy. The frequency of the earth, the frequency of the world, the frequency of the universe changed to where people became more cognizant of what was right, what is wrong, what is cool, and what is not. When they say woke, when they talk about woke, that means we kind of woke up to, damn. Grow it like this. I'll give you a perfect example. When I watch Sanford and Son, they had him and Lamont had one of the most toxic, most fucked up son and father relationships you ever will see. They fuck with each other's love life. Fred called him a dummy every 2 days. He was a bigot. Lamont was an asshole to Fred in some cases. They had a fucked up dynamic. But as when we was kids, we didn't notice that. When they talk about the Nickelodeon shit, I'm not going to go into the shows and Snyder, just the Ren and Stimpy. When I look at Ren and Stimpy, we were not supposed to be watching that. Well, at the time Ren and Stimpy came up, I was 17. So, I can see a sick... Nah, hell nah. It's 21 up should have been watching that motherfucker. Because Ren and Stimpy was off the chain. Stimpy! Stimpy! Idiot! Why is it that whenever they do a Chihuahua as a Mexican dog, well, Chihuahua can't be a goddamn English dog, can't have an English accent, got to always have a Mexican accent? I ain't think about Beavis and Butthead. See, understand this. Like I said, as an adult, when you look back and even listen to songs and look at TV shows and stuff of that nature, you be like, well, you have a different perspective. So bringing that forward to where back to where I was going with this, we had a different perspective on what is appropriate and what's inappropriate. And when people look back at what some of these rappers and singers did back in the day, yes, many of them were, especially the New York ones. Let's keep it 100. Think about MC Light's lyrics. Think about L. Cool J. I remember when I was at Hillside, there were niggas that were 25, 26, goddamn it, chilling across the street. And the girls run over there to them. They, you know what I'm saying? Understand this. No one cared. Now, was it a good thing or a bad thing? It was actually a bad thing when you think about it. Understand this. I could have fucked a college student as a sophomore in high school. She thought I went to school in Central. I pretended like I did, but I never pursued it. I never got back on the campus again. But I digress. You have to understand this. Back then, them guys got away with a lot of shit. The reason why, because the control that they had back then over the media prevented a lot of stories, a lot of shit to get out. They want no cell phones. You got to understand, media was TV and magazine. The white scandalous shit was the National Enquirer. The source and all that, they didn't really report about any messy shit unless it was like two rappers fighting. But you didn't hear about, oh, this rapper is... A girl come out saying she was sexually assaulted or she was raped or anything of that nature. You know, the closest I heard was when Dr. Dre beat up some chick and kicked her down the stairs. You feel what I'm saying? It was more tight-lipped. Snoop went to trial. Tupac went to trial. You feel me? So now you have social media, so you can't tight-lip social media. You can't tight-lip the algorithm. So once the news is out, everyone's talking about it. And it's beating you in the head. Like I said, it was either news or magazine. Magazine, you put it down. You ain't going to go back and read the article. Actually, the only thing we did was the only reason why we kept the magazine was for the covers. You remember back in the day, if you was my age, how many times your daddy and mama had a goddamn stack of Ebony and Jet? How many times you think they went back and read anything in magazines? It was a new magazine. But see, with this and the internet, it stays in your face hard. You know what I mean? As soon as he got as soon as they did the raid on Diddy, how many YouTubers dropped a video within the next 30 minutes? How many deep dives of Diddy came out? So, and they can't control that. So that's the reason why we didn't hear about a lot of shit. The reason why we figured out in the world so that they saw that cops do beat the shit out of niggas, it took a videotape of Rodney King getting his ass whooped for people to be like, oh, they do beat the shit out of black people. They, damn, is that bad? Yeah. Now I try to, it. So, once again, in closing, Puff Daddy, his goose is cooked. Very cooked. And I think that he might be moving to bother with Russell. I'm just being honest with you. He might be moving down. Because this is serious. This is serious. But no, but like I said, my point is that the things that he was alleged of doing, the things that was in these lawsuits, trust me, I even took a look again at the goddamn page. And I discussed them before. Whoever is they saying is next to get taken down, God bless. Because the fact that all them names was mentioned, now the feds is watching them. See, that's the reason why everybody was quiet. Because He who blinked. He who we need to watch. Hit dog holler. Any of them terms fit this situation. That why ain't nobody came up and spoke on his behalf. You know, period. It's funny how people saying, what about Joe? Joe ain't said never. Joe. Actually, Joe did a whole segment discussing it. They say he's done. He's done. And that was funny. That's how powerful a voice Joe got now. People want to hear, the world want to hear what this man got to say. It's crazy on Club Shay Shay. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be on Club Shay Shay. Offset mentioned Joe. Joe was mentioned. And it was a funny conversation. They all said felt some type of way about Joe's criticism of his wife's music. And I find it funny that any creator cannot handle criticism. Apparently. Especially hip-hop artists. Y'all can't. handle criticism. It's funny because even when I was watching this show that, you know what I'm saying, this mystery show, and in the midst of it, the whole reason why the murder happened was that the director or the producer was scared that they were going to get a bad review. And I get it. It's very stressful if you see someone say your shit is garbage or whack. But I don't think you should be mad at the person that does their critique. That's their job. Joe's job is to critique an album. His job is to critique music. Like, I laugh when I hear people get mad at Danny from The Stop. His job is to critique podcasts and give podcast news. Why are you mad at him? Let it be mad at this dude because he said that she said that, that Bridget Kelly was lazy, but actually Mandy said that Bridget Kelly was lazy without saying that she was lazy because she described what lazy looked like. I digress. Oh, by the way, that breakdown, see the thing is, podcast breakdown, my thoughts on that, YouTube exclusive. Anyway, but my point being is, you got to realize if you create something, whether it's a painting, whether it's TV, whether it's a business, there's going to be people who are going to give it a critique. And it is not may not be a good critique. But what you should do is take that critique and look at, okay, how many people saying my shit garbage? And the next time, that should give you motivation to make better fucking music. Not be upset and want to fight some goddamn body. That's bitch shit. Whenever I get a bad critique, I don't get mad at the critic. I get mad at myself, okay? Let me go look and then go back and listen and see what they're saying. And not every critique is hate. And not every critique. Not every hate is a critique. And not every critique is hate. See, there you go. So, I'm just curious to see what else, because this is just the beginning. When would it go to court? He ain't going to go to court for probably another 5 to 6 years. If it ends up being he goes to court. If he ends up going to jail, trust me, it's going to take a decade for this to conclude. I never pray to anybody do that shit. I ain't even going to say it nor speak it. But I don't think he would do that no way because he's too vain. He's too vain. So. But it's just funny when I was listening even to the psychic breaking down certain things when you were talking about Jay-Z and all this, and astral plane and all this. All I'm hearing is basically what all y'all saying is that all these men held high power and was held in high regard in the industry. Whether it was witchcraft or whether it was money, whether it was blackmail, or whatever the fuck it was, these motherfuckers that supposedly be taken down and, like I said, being roped in and all this, they're powerful men. And what ends up happening with power? Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. That will happen to our friend Puff Daddy. Can't corrupt it. So, I'm done. I gave y'all enough. So take that. So we're at the end of another wonderful show. And like I said, don't forget, y'all go check out Miss Ferrara, the Queen of Law from the Queen City by Charlotte. I'll go check out for all your sponge needs and everything else. Also, don't forget two ways to get extra content, special content that is not for the free. No, you got to pay a little cash to see this stuff. First way, Savage Smoke, where I sit down and I talk to the top male talents of the business, and we chop it up about the women of the business itself, and being a male talent in this business, and how many of us are greatly unappreciated, and beefs and everything else. Trust and believe, it's worth the $4.99 a month, and it's only on Spotify. Second way to get extra content, more exclusive content, subscribe to the Premium Smoke Room, people. On loyal fans, 5 premium podcasts for you to enjoy, 3 sexy, gorgeous co-hosts for you to enjoy. It gets more candid, it gets more provocative, it gets more wilder. It's loyal fans, of course it does that. You get to see some titties, might see a dildo pop out, but you don't know unless you subscribe. But let me tell you what does come out. The truth and honesty about sexuality, relationships, the porn business, and everything else that falls underneath that sun. So the best smoke is what? Premium Smoke. So now with that being said, I'm about to get the fuck up out of here. Because I have a bunch of shit to damn do because my house supposed to get bug bombed by the landlord. So, any of y'all ever went through that, you know it's a lot of work just for the prep. So, with that being said, life is a learning experience. What's the point of the experience if you haven't learned anything? Smoke this over.